Let's take you now to the United States, where Michael Cohen, a close confidant of Donald Trump and then President Trump for many years, he was Donald Trump's personal attorney. He is testifying before the Congressional Committee in Washington, D.C. Our U.S. correspondent, LBC's Simon Marks, has been watching.
Well, Eddie, that congressional testimony is still underway. There are days when historic events collide. Go and dig out a newspaper from the morning after the moon landing and you'll find Ted Kennedy's fatal car accident at Chappaquiddick competes for ink on the front page. And so it will be tomorrow, with President Trump hoping the front pages and the home pages are dominated by his photo op summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. But more sagacious White House hands, knowing that for many newspapers and websites, it will be Michael Cohen's testimony on Capitol Hill that dominates. For just as President Trump, face-to-face with Kim Jong-un in Vietnam, was extolling North Korea's potential virtues...
I think that your country has tremendous economic potential, unbelievable, unlimited, and I look forward to watching it happen and helping it to happen, and we will help it to happen.
Back in Washington, President Trump's former lawyer was getting ready to unload with both barrels. Michael Cohen, under oath in testimony before the House of Representatives Oversight Committee, insists that after lying to Congress last time he testified, a crime for which he is about to begin a 3-year jail sentence, this time round, he's telling the truth.
I am ashamed of my weakness and my misplaced loyalty, of the things I did for Mr. Trump in an effort to protect and promote him. I am ashamed that I chose to take part in concealing Mr. Trump's illicit acts rather than listening to my own conscience. I am ashamed because I know what Mr. Trump is. He is a racist, he is a con man, and he is a cheat.
The man who once said he would take a bullet for President Trump fired rhetorical automatic fire in the president's direction. Donald Trump, he said, lied when he claimed last year that he knew nothing about payments to silence two women. And Mr. Cohen produced the president's signed reimbursement check to prove it. Donald Trump, he asserted, lied ceaselessly about his business dealings with the Russians, spoke in racist terms constantly about black Americans, once said that he couldn't believe the U.S. government's stupidity in giving him a $10 million tax refund, and even rigged an auction of one of his own portraits so that it would end up being paid for by his own charity and yet hanging in one of his golf clubs. But the most serious allegation, the one that puts the president in real jeopardy, is the claim that the president knew from his long-term associate, the now-arrested Roger Stone, that WikiLeaks had the emails that the Russians stole from the Clinton campaign.
I was in Mr. Trump's office when his secretary announced that Roger Stone was on the phone. Mr. Trump put Mr. Stone on the speakerphone. Mr. Stone told Mr. Trump that he had just gotten off the phone with Julian Assange, and that Mr. Assange told Mr. Stone that within a couple of days, there would be a massive dump of emails that would damage Hillary Clinton's campaign. Mr. Trump responded by stating to the effect, "Wouldn't that be great?"
That claim is political kryptonite, and even though it's coming from a man who will soon be trading his business suit for a prison uniform, prosecutors say they believe the testimony that Mr. Cohen is delivering today. Indeed, if he lies today, they have reserved the right to add another 5 years to his 3-year prison sentence. Little wonder that Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who headed the Democratic National Committee when the Clinton campaign emails were hacked by the Russians, pressed Mr. Cohen for clarity.
Mr. Cohen, is it your testimony that Mr. Trump had advance knowledge of the Russia WikiLeaks release of the DNC's emails?
I cannot answer that in a yes or no. He had advanced notice that there was going to be a dump of emails, but at no time did I hear the specificity of what those emails were going to be.
But you do testify today that he had advanced knowledge of their imminent release.
That is what I had stated in my testimony.
And that he cheered that outcome.
Yes, ma'am.
With Democrats now in the majority in the House of Representatives after last November's midterm elections, Republicans on the committee have struggled so far to deal with the explosive nature of Michael Cohen's allegations. President Trump's current political fixer, Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, insists the president's former legal fixer is lying.
Mr. Cohen, I guess what I'm saying is I've talked to the president over 300 times. I've not heard one time a racist comment out of his mouth in private. So how do you reconcile it?
The hearing is wall-to-wall on America's TV news channels and in all respects the most dramatic event on Capitol Hill since the Watergate hearings of the 1970s. Democrats will have to decide when this is over whether they now have sufficient justification to begin impeachment proceedings against President Trump. And the president, Eddie, will have to decide just how to respond from the distance of Vietnam, where he remains in the cozy embrace of North Korea's dictator.
Simon, thank you for that. Let me ask you what effect you think this testimony will have, not least because of the highly charged, highly partisan nature of US politics. The Republicans on this committee tried to delay this evidence from even being heard today. This man is a convicted liar. He's accusing a man known to have a problem with the truth of not only being a liar, but as you've heard, a racist, a con man, and a cheat. Is it possible that Democrats already consider him to be all of those things? Many Republicans, certainly his substantial base, consider him still to be a good guy, and they've already discounted these allegations against him. Is it possible, I suppose I'm asking, that this leads us back to square one, or is this much more significant than that?
Look, I think this definitely advances the case that Democrats want to develop, that Donald Trump is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors. That's the constitutional phrase. That's the bar that has to be proved if they are indeed going to go ahead and successfully seek to impeach President Donald Trump. It was very notable, I think, Eddie, that right at the beginning of this hearing, the Democrat who is chairing the committee, Congressman Elijah Cummings, immediately stipulated to the fact that Michael Cohen is a known liar. It is also clear that prosecutors believe what Michael Cohen is presenting today. Indeed, prosecutors, as I said in the report, can throw a heftier jail sentence at him if they conclude that he has lied in this testimony today. At the end of the day, this is not a popularity contest. This is not about Donald Trump standing in the polls. This is about the ability that Democrats in the House of Representatives have, now that they control the majority in the House of Representatives, to tie the Trump presidency up in investigative knots, as the Washington Post put it recently, to choke President Trump's presidency and perhaps to do more damage than that. The Robert Mueller special prosecutor report, we believe, is going to land at the Department of Justice at some point in the next few weeks or months. Whether it will ever be made public remains to be seen. That decision gets to be made by the Attorney General. But in parallel to that, Democrats can continue pursuing their investigations in the halls of Congress. Prosecutors in the Southern District of New York can continue digging in to President Trump's business empire, aided as they are being by his chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, who has cut an immunity deal with them. And so this is really, I think, just the beginning of much more trouble for President Trump ahead.
Maybe he'll defect to North Korea. Simon, thank you. Simon Marks, our US correspondent.